New Life Church, good morning. Man, I miss y'all. I wish we were together. You owe me 2 weeks worth of hugs so far. Who knows how long it's going to be before we're together again. But thanks for welcoming me into your home and for the opportunity to open God's Word with you this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. It is continuation of our Sermon on the Mount series. And last week we talked about Jesus' model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And I was reminded afterwards of one of the lessons that Paul taught us about prayer from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He said, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And the way he started that out, don't be anxious about anything. Sometimes that's easier said than done. This week, I've been contacting a lot of you, just Facebook and text messaging and phone calls, just checking on you, seeing how you're doing. I've run into a couple of you that, not too many, but a couple of you are fearful, and I certainly understand that. Some of you are probably more like me, you're frustrated and a bit angry the way things are going. But all of us, 100% of us, are anxious. Anxiety is this idea of a general sense of unease or uncertainty. And we're definitely uncertain about what tomorrow's going to bring, and we're uneasy about it. Even those of us that have known the Lord for years, that have walked with God for years, we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We've had Him provide for us. We've had Him heal us. We still have questions. We're still in the midst of this crisis, and we have questions. I was talking to a young man this week, strong Christian, but had those questions. Where's God in all of this? Why did He let it happen? Has He forgotten us? And I don't know if there's anything worse than feeling forgotten. If you've ever had somebody close to you forget your birthday, there's nothing worse than that. You love to be remembered. I love it when I come home in the evening and my wife has the porch light on for me because I know she is waiting for me. She remembered me. So we all want to be remembered. We never want to be forgotten. And we feel a little bit forgotten. I mean, if we be honest with ourselves, in the midst of all of this crisis, we feel a little bit like God maybe has forgotten about us. And what we wouldn't give at this moment for someone to remember us and to put their arm around our shoulder and to walk with us into that scary forest that's ahead of us, that's all of our tomorrows. It's dark, it's foreboding, there's eerie sounds. Someone to remember us and put their arm around us and walk us through there. Well, the prayer that we prayed last week, Jesus' model prayer, is just that. It's a cry out to our Father for Him to come and walk with us into the unknown, into what is making us anxious at the moment. And so that's why Jesus' example is so important to us. We're not just talking to ourselves. We're not just talking to the ceiling. When we cry out to our Father, we're not just pretending like what's happening out in the world isn't happening. We're not just crossing our fingers and wishing away anxiety. We're calling on our Father. And it's a reminder to me of that old story in the Old Testament of young Samuel. You remember the story. He was in the tabernacle, and he heard his name being called. And before Samuel ever called on the Lord, God was calling his name first. That's the way God is with us. He calls us first, and we respond. And so that's how the Lord's Prayer began. Back in chapter 6, verse 9, "Our Father in heaven." And that biblical description of God as our Father is important. Not because God's a male. John chapter 4, verse 24 reminds us that God's Spirit. He's neither male nor female. Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, when it talks about God creating man in His image, He created him male and female. So both male and female bear the image of God. Males are image bearers of God. Females are image bearers of God. They bear different parts of the image. There's some aspects of God that we would describe as masculine, some aspects of God that we would describe as feminine. And the Bible never shies away from showing both of those types of qualities. Some of you might be surprised to know some of the feminine qualities of God, but here's some interesting ones that I pulled out for this sermon. Hosea chapter 11. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the hand, but they never knew that I healed them. I led them with human cords, with ropes of love. To them I was like one who eases the yoke from their jaws. I bent down to give them food. Deuteronomy chapter 32. You ignored the rock who gave you birth. You forgot the God who gave birth to you. Isaiah 49, one of my favorites, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these forget, yet I will not forget you. And then Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. So all of those are beautiful pictures of a mother and child, and describe our relationship with God. Invite us into a relationship with God where we get to know Him intimately. We get to discover His goodness and enjoy His goodness and feel His care and His nurture for us. The first description of woman in the Bible is in Genesis 1:27. The Hebrew word is nekebah, and it literally means pierced or open. In the Hebrew, as you know, if you've sat through any of my sermons before, I always say this, Hebrew is a very pictorial language. But nekebah isn't necessarily just an anatomical picture of a woman. It describes biblical femininity, which is open to receive. And that's why the church in the New Testament is always feminine. Why the church is the bride of Christ. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad, rejoice, and give Him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has prepared herself. She's given fine linen to wear, bright and pure. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous of you with a godly jealousy, because I have promised you in marriage to one husband to present a pure virgin to Christ. So in other words, the church, the feminine church, is on the receiving end, and God, our Father, is on the giving end of His blessings. Paul says it this way, to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants to give to us, to fill us with all the fullness of God, but we have to receive it. We have to be open to receive it. So, in other words, Jesus beginning His sermon, framing it with our Father, isn't patriarchal. It isn't meant to describe God as some doddering old man on the throne with a white beard and white hair. It's meant to tell us something about God's character. The Hebrew word for male in Genesis 1:27 is zakar. And zakar literally means to leave a mark or make an impact. And usually in the ancient Middle East, it was commonly known for someone who remembers something important and moves to act on it. Somebody that remembers something important and then does something about it. And again, in terms of relationship, our Father is someone who remembers us. He crosses a relational space to give us what we need, to give us something good. He remembers us, He remembers our need, and He moves in costly love to carry the burdens of our souls, to carry us even when we need it. So I want to read to you two sections today from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that are particularly poignant for where we are in our country right now, what we're going through dealing with our anxieties. It's in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread, Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was not adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then moving on to chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Last week, I encouraged you to pray the Lord's Prayer every day for a week, and I hope you've done that, and I hope you've benefited from it greatly. This week, I'm going to ask you to do something similar. I'm going to ask you to read these two passages every day. Read them, and I encourage you to read them in the morning. When you get up in the morning, instead of turning on your phone to find out the latest news, I'm asking you to turn to your Bible and let Jesus' words about not being anxious and worrying soak into your soul before you start your day. But here's the thing. I don't want you to read it like we normally do. Typically, when we read the scriptures, we always read it as if it's some sort of corrective. So when Jesus says, don't worry, we read it as we are worrying. He's telling us to stop. Like I said, my wife sometimes doesn't really appreciate when I tell her to stop worrying while she's worrying. It doesn't help much. So don't read it that way, as if Jesus is correcting you. Instead, I want you to read it this way. Jesus is telling us what it feels like, what it looks like, even what it smells like, what it tastes like, to be remembered. To be remembered by a Father in heaven. Jesus says, this is what it looks like, or feels like, to have God snatch us and pull us back from the cliffs of anxiety that we're looking down. This is what it feels like to have God's arm slide around your shoulder as he walks with you into the scary world ahead of us. Remember, he's our Father. He's already there. He's already calling us by name before we ever call on him in the first place. And ultimately, that's the blessings of the Sermon on the Mount. It isn't about Jesus promising us that tomorrow will be better than today. Okay? We know that's not even true. We just read, tomorrow's going to have plenty of troubles of its own. In fact, we remember from the Beatitudes, you don't know that there's not going to be mourning tomorrow or persecution tomorrow or that you'll be taken advantage of by someone tomorrow. So the blessing of the Sermon on the Mount is not that Jesus says tomorrow is going to be better than today. The blessing of the Sermon on the Mount comes from the fact that we can show up to the King in his kingdom with empty hands, with nothing of value to offer, and find out that God is everything, that he is everything we need, and that he loves us, and he wants to take care of us. And you say, Pastor, those are nice sentiments, but it doesn't change the fact that we're in quarantine, that we can't leave our homes. It doesn't change the fact that the world's going crazy and the economy's falling apart. There's chaos all around us. Well, Jesus answers that too. Look at chapter 7 again, verse 11. Here's Jesus' answer. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And so I am encouraging you, God remembers and is moved. God remembers and is moved and will cross space with sacrificial love to give good gifts to his children, to give a hand of comfort, to give his hand of guidance as you navigate these tricky waters. He will give his provision. He will give his healing so that we can go into tomorrow, the uncertainties that are there, unafraid, and learning to trust him. So I want to encourage you this week, pray, read these two passages every day and let God work in your heart and ask him to help learn to trust. Let's pray together and we'll close. Father, we are in uncertain times. We are anxious. Paul tells us, don't be anxious, but we hear that and we even start to get more anxious. And so, Lord, let us this week understand your heart behind all of these promises, that even in the midst of an angst-creating world, we can be at peace because we have learned to trust you. And where we don't trust you, Lord, help us grow in that through the days ahead. We need your hand on us. We need your provision. We need your protection. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance, Lord. We need all of these things. But you tell us you already know this. When we come to you in prayer, we discover that you've already been calling us. And we're grateful, Lord, that you are a good father and you give good gifts to your children. So, Lord, make us open to receive those gifts. Thank you for remembering us. Thank you for never leaving or forsaking us. Thank you for calling us by name. Guide us, we pray. As we go throughout this next week, Lord, I pray that even now we would sense your arm sliding around our shoulder as you walk us into the dark week ahead. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pray a blessing over you as we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Stay tuned for a short word from Pastor Jeff, and I look forward to connecting with you this week on the internet and however you can get a hold of me. Call me. Most of you have my number. If you don't, email the church and we'll give it to you. The church is open. Our building may be closed to anybody over groups of 10, but we're open, and so we want to help you. If you need anything, let us know. God bless you.